This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hog bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhart, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevrolet. He'll be thrown out of the game. Joseph Brad Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head, and Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brad Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to this Monday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast, brought to you by our good friends at the Innovated Companies. That's InnovatedCompanies.com, whether it's residential, commercial, or industrial. They've got you covered all across the board, especially under that umbrella of fine companies, the construction team, heating and cooling, the electric team, and now available for your use, the plumbing team, all controlled by my man Randy Green. 35 years experience. He's a second generation craftsman, more importantly, a man of his word. We'd like to welcome all you guys to the show this week. Little change in the personnel as we're going to have to do with Kimby's work schedule being kind of in flux. So, you know, sometimes you'll get and Gary, don't take this the wrong way. Sometimes you'll get the B crew on Mondays and you'll get the A crew on Thursdays.
I'm okay being a B crew against two NHL vets.
So today, and what I like to call, and Gary and I've talked about it, is the fan show is when it's basically me and G, and we call Jamie, and then the pro show is when the pros are in the house, and that's Darren and Jamie. And so today, you got the fan show, which I know everybody still seems to enjoy, especially because we do get Jamie on the line. But again, want to thank everybody for joining us. I'll just remind you real quick, as Jamie will be on the celebrity. Isn't that something? Celebrity line, Jamie. All right. I know, I'm just having a little fun with him. He'll get a kick out of that. I'll get a nasty text over that. So just want to remind you, check us out, okay? Happy to have you guys all a part of the show and everything that we do. But let's start first with bluesnhlpodcast.com. Happy to have you guys a part of the show. You can subscribe there, do your shopping at Amazon there. Help me with my producers, Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen. Got to take care of those guys. And again, subscribing to the show ensures that you'll know whenever we put the show out. Find us on Twitter at STL Blues Podcast. If you're a Blues fan and you follow us, we're going to follow you back. Our big push this year is on Facebook. You guys, first couple of shows have really answered the bell for us. We're seeing a lot of growth there. Go to search bar, type in Blues NHL Podcast, like our page, click invite your friends, invite all of your friends. But here's where the fun stuff starts. We do the show on Mondays and Thursdays, so usually in 5 o'clock or after. Find our pinned post in Blues NHL Podcast, like it, comment on it, share it in an effort to reach more Blues fans that hopefully can find us. We're going to be randomly sending out stuff to people that do those types of things, especially the sharing. That's the big thing. But commenting helps us as well as we try to make the post relevant and get more people to see it. Pretty simple, guys. And again, we appreciate it greatly. At Blues NHL Podcast Show on Instagram. And of course, happy to be a part of lineupmedia.fm, fastest growing podcast company on the planet. But now, of course, home to Yo Radio. Download it on your mobile device today. It's free. It's wonderful. You guys will enjoy it. And again, we're very proud of it and happy to be a part of it. As we move into this thing, I'm excited about we talked a lot about Jake Allen last week, hence, and boy, he kind of answered the bell. Now, I know it's preseason, but preseason is what it is, right? But the thing about it is, for him, I think the main thing is, can he play, and can he do what he needs to do within a game health-wise? And I would say, judging by his first couple performances, he's answering those questions. Now, I also know enough to be dangerous about injuries that, those types of things, if not fully healed and past it, can kind of creep back up on you. So only the Blues and Jake Allen know exactly where he's at in that process.
Well, yeah, they know, but I mean, he looked good Friday.
And I don't think they'd, I really don't think they'd risk him at this juncture this early for potential of longer term issue.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, I think he's fine.
But I'm sure we're going to hear more about that from the man. And you're hearing the familiar music in the background there, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for us to go to the man, the myth, and of course, the legend. What do you say there, mister?
Oh, not too much. What? I didn't think we were going to have a whole hell of a lot to talk about, but then, of course, our good buddy Tom Wilson decides to say, no, Jamie, you're not going to have an easy day or an easy evening. We're going to go and run a guy over and cause a whole bunch of shit.
Well, you know, and you know, as you are a master of segues without even realizing you're doing it, I was going to ask you about that only because I'm sure, and everybody knows, you like to have a little fun on Twitter and social media as much as the next guy, but our friend Kimby has taken an interesting stance on this, that he's had to defend himself a little bit to some Blues fans, and I wanted to get your thought on that and then kind of go from there. Before we get into that, though, we were discussing Jake Allen and whether or not we felt the health it looked good to us, and I don't think the Blues would put him in a full game situation if he wasn't at least at the point of moving past this injury. Do you think he's answered all the bells and whistle questions for as far as if he's ready to go on a full-time basis?
Well, I think so. I think it was maybe Lou Korak who wrote that, you know, technically Jake Allen has played the equivalent of two preseason games now. So, you know, I mean, it's not a huge body of work, but, you know, what would you ask more from a goalie if he wasn't hurt? Maybe one more preseason game, maybe three. And he probably wouldn't even be a complete game, probably like half a game. So, you know, I think it comes down to Jake. If Jake feels like he's healthy and feels good and feels comfortable, then you got to go with what he's saying. And then, you know, obviously you cross-reference it with what the trainers and doctors are saying. And at that point, I believe you just got to go with it.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, and our thing was, you know, health can affect every player to some degree if they're not 100% healthy. Well, obviously, a netminder needs his legs. So if there was any issue, I can't see them pushing him in the preseason. And, I mean, yeah, you'd like to have him to start the season, but you surely wouldn't risk weeks and weeks of injury just to find out if a guy's ready to go, I wouldn't think. But then again, that's me. And they know a whole lot more behind the scenes than we do. You know more than the average bear. So my guess is we should be ready to move it behind us. And judging by his play, and I do know it's the preseason, he seems ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, his save percentage was, what, like 939 or something in the two games or in whatever the minutes is that he's played. And let's be honest, if it stays around that or hovers around that number for the entire season, we'll be pretty damn happy with what's going on.
Oh, my goodness. Hindu, if we get a 930 out of Jake this year, what do you think?
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
Well, I think we've, you know, you guys, you and Kimby talked about it, me and Hindu and you and have talked about it. I think people 100% up and down the lineup here, I don't hear any belly aching about the lineup. It's, can Jake Allen deliver us to that promised land? And I know that everybody in this studio knows that if Jake plays up to his capabilities, I think he can do it. I there's no doubt about it. We've seen him carry the team before. I don't think that's in question.
No, I think the biggest thing that people are worried about, and it's not even to do with health, is, you know, what's Jake Allen going to look like in December and January? Because for whatever reason, for 2 years in a row, it's been a bit of a circus for Jake. Is somewhere in there, embedded in that time frame, there's, you know, a number of games where things just seem to dip below satisfactory. I don't know what it is. I'm not a goalie expert. And even if I was a goalie expert, maybe I'm not a psychological expert in being able to figure out what he may be going through or what holds him back. So it's, you know, he apparently has changed a few things in the off season. I hear that there's a what do they call it, a sports psychologist that he may be talking to. I don't know if he is or if he isn't, but obviously he knows he has to address that little stint that he has that just drops below acceptable. And if he can take that out of his game and play the way he has in the past at certain times, I mean, God, the sky's the limit for this guy. So hopefully the Blues will help him out too and give him a good supporting cast as far as backup goalies go and manage the number of starts properly so that if you see something kind of creeping into his game, you're not forced to, you know, go all in with somebody else or change everything or send Jake home like they have in the past and call up two other goalies. Hopefully they have a plan in place that keeps things a little more even keel psychologically and physically for this team.
Yeah, you know, I gotta tell you, as we move past that now, and I feel better about it, and I like the lineup, and you know, we've talked a little bit about those bottom spots and who they're going to go to. Injuries withstanding, these things sometimes take care of themselves, fortunately or unfortunately, however you look at it. You know, let's get in now to probably the hottest topic, and you brought it up right at the beginning: the hit. Now, the hit looked ugly, no doubt about it. You know, it to me, and again, we can talk about an elbow or a positioning or whatever you want to talk about. I mean, it really kind of, and again, this is going to sound like I'm taking a different tact here, but, you know, and again, we're not mimicking other leagues, but it almost mimics the defenseless receiver rule in football. I mean, the guy completely blindsides him. Now, again, it looks ugly, but to a hockey player, a guy that's played in the league, in your opinion, I guess if you want to give one, because Kimby's given his on Twitter, Kimby's putting a little bit of the blame here on our guy for not having his head up and standing by it, quite frankly. So, you know, I guess if you want to give your overall thoughts on the hit, I know Blues fans are curious.
Yeah, God, you know what? I'm starting to absolutely hate these plays, and not because I find them bad plays, good plays. They just cause so much other dramatic bullshit that surround them. Like, here we are right now, and you know, I know what I want to answer, and I know what Kimby's answering, and I know what I feel is the real answer. But then Joe Public out there, they take a stance of, well, no headshots, none of this, no cheap shots, no hitting late, and all this stuff. And so it's really difficult. Society has put us in a spot now where you can't even voice your opinion on it without being, you know, the antichrist of clean hockey. And look, it's a sensitive subject right now. There's guys with brain damage that are former players. The NHL's not claiming anything in lawsuits, and it's nasty. I mean, it's one of the nastiest things going on. We have current players that are fighting with retired players because of all these things. And anyways, I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, for your hockey eternity, for me growing up and Kimby and guys like that and shit, I'd like to think it's not that long ago, but you were told to be very careful when you cut through the middle of the ice. Because, hey, guess what? Have you ever watched a Scott Stevens clip?
And man, I am so glad you brought that up.
Like, everybody had watched a Scott Stevens clip at some time or another. Don Cherry showed it, NHL Tonight. I mean, anywhere south of the border, north of the border, anywhere in Europe, they know what a goddamn Scott Stevens hit looks like. And so now you got guys, though, that apparently, I don't know, haven't seen that part of the NHL, and they cut through with their head down. They think they're safe. Well, you're not safe. And is it a predatory hit? Well, yeah, it is, but it's also a hit that's part of the game, meaning the player had control of the puck. It wasn't late. It was late by the fact that, yes, the puck was off his stick, but if you sit there with the millisecond stopwatch, it is literally right after the puck leaves his stick. So in that part of it, it's a legal hit. Now, okay, but I think he targeted the head. That's the next one I see all over Twitter. Well, they're both big, tall guys. You know, I personally think it was a shoulder that came across on that one. I think it hit the back of the shoulder before the head. I think the head was a point, not a point of contact, was maybe, what would you call that? Like,
initial, on the initial
it got
point?
Hit.
It was the it secondary got, contact.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The head secondary, was secondary.
Point of
right.
contact. Yeah, that's, okay, so the head is secondary point of contact, but because of everything that's going on these days, you know, now we isolate it saying, well, he shouldn't have been coming from that angle. It's a blindside hit. Well, it's not a blindside hit if he has his head up. I mean, it's just, it's real difficult to answer this because, you know, Tom Wilson is looking at probably a 7-game suspension out of this, okay? And the reason I say that is because the NHL is showboating right now with an in-person hearing, which means, well, we can suspend him for more than 5 games because of an in-person hearing. And they're leaving that window open, and people are crying for 10, 15, 20 games. He's a repeat offender, which he is. He is. He's a repeat offender because he's still one of the only guys who plays that kind of game in the NHL. And when you're one of the only guys that plays that way, guess what? You're going to be one of the only guys that gets penalized that way. And, you know, the play doesn't happen if Sundqvist has his head up. If he has his head up, he probably stops, turns, throws the puck in the corner rather than trying to shoot it on net. Or maybe he did see him. Guys, has anybody asked Sundqvist, did you see him? He might say, yeah, I saw him, but I wanted to get the shot off first. And, I mean, it's just like the old, like you said, the receiver rule, where the wide receiver knew he was going to get decked, but he knew he had to stretch out and make that catch. And some of those old school guys would say, I knew I was going to get decked, but I had a catch to make. So I don't even know if he saw him or not.
Well, I mean, he may not be able to answer that question right now.
He thinks
unfortunately.
He's Batman.
Well, I know, right?
It's unfortunate. But let me say this, because you brought up Scott Stevens. We got in this discussion after this hit some of us, and I don't see – I know it's a Scott Stevens-ish hit because Scott was – Mr. Stevens was known for that.
Yeah, Mr. Stevens. Let's be honest here.
The hit on Paul Kariya when Kariya is out and comes back in the game and all of that, that hit, I think, needs to be taken out because it's not the Sundqvist hit. Sundqvist has the puck on his stick, and Jamie's right. It's literally milliseconds. The hit that Scott Stevens is known for mostly is that Kariya hit and other hits similar. The puck's way off Kariya's stick. It's way off his stick. That needs to be taken.
Oh, it's like a 2.5-second delay.
That needs to be taken out of the game. This hit on Sundqvist, that's just, it's a violent game, and there are big collisions by big people, and that's what happened there.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was going to say. If you look at this hit, okay, now listen, if you're a human being, right? And unless you're one of these guys that's, I don't give a shit about nothing, well then, you know, you look at it and you kind of, oh, and you kind of wince, right? But again, and I think this is where Kimby's coming from. It's like, hey, you know what did we sign up for here? We didn't sign up for ignorance, but at the end of the day, this is what happens in a hockey game sometimes. Now, could Wilson have said, you know what, he's blind to this, I'm going to pull it. But that's not what you do. The whole point is to separate the guy from the puck.
Right, and he has the puck, and Jamie's right. And I just don't see – I would hope that people see a huge difference between that hit and a Scott Stevens-ish hit, because, Jamie, I'm sorry, I just think a lot of Stevens' hits were just, they were intended to hurt, and they caught guys without the puck on their stick. And
Gary, I tell you right now, Scott Stevens' hits, he went, here's the funny part, and this is where it gets squirrely for the hockey world right now. If you look at it, the people just put Scott Stevens in the Hall of Fame not too long ago, I believe.
Yeah.
So, they are saying, okay, the people, the hockey world, the fans, everybody, hockey society is saying that's a Hall of Famer. Guess what? If Scott Stevens broke into the NHL today, he would be banned from the league within 2 seasons.
Yeah.
I'm not joking.
No, I'm not joking. You're right.
But he's a Hall of Famer. Yet he'd be banned from the league in 2 seasons, and I'm being generous, because probably half a season he'd be he's 10 times more vicious than Tom Wilson could ever even pretend to be. Scott Stevens tried to decapitate guys with elbows and head-on collisions, and I mean, I played against the man. I feared the man because of that. You came up the ice, I tell you what, I freaking knew where Scott Stevens was at all times because I knew if my name is Rivers, Lindros, Messier, fucking Gretzky, it didn't matter. You come through here, you're going down.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's in the Hall of Fame now.
Yeah.
Do you ever get
one? Tell me how that makes sense.
Do you ever get one from him, Jamie? Did you ever get a Scott Stevens boom on you?
No, because I'm a smart hockey player.
Well, right.
Fuck, there's two. Hey, I always say, guys, there's two different types of rats, right? One rat that grabs the cheese and gets electrocuted and says, fuck that. I'm never touching the cheese again in my life. That shit's not worth it. And then there's the other rat that dies holding on to the cheese.
I'm guessing you're the.
I am the rat that hit the cheese once, and I got the fuck out of it.
You know, I know what you're talking about, the Korea hit, and yeah, you know, because Scott Stevens is still one of my favorite all-time players. I mean,
But he has Eric Lindros.
The Eric Lindros hit is
Eric
the one.
Eric Lindros' career.
Yeah,
right.
Well, coming across.
But that was clean as could be.
His head off.
Yeah, but that hit was clean as
and
could be.
Well, not all.
Well,
he had. I don't know.
Homer, it was targeted for the head.
Yeah, I agree with Jamie.
I'm just telling you guys. You go pull up Scott Stevens' YouTube and see how many hits you can count that there's not head contact,
exactly.
Or that the intent wasn't to injure.
Exactly, and a good thing is I think the NHL is they obviously are taking that out of the game, that hit.
Well, but here's the hard part,
but
Gary.
I don't know how I feel about this Wilson suspension, though.
But here's where it gets shitty, right? And this is where I started with it, was it's like one of these things that's going on in society today that's outside of hockey where people scream and there's debate over and over and over, and there's one side of the fence or the other. There's no happy medium. So right now, hits like Tom Wilson's, it's difficult because – I love the game of hockey, and I love all the guys I ever played with. Now, some of those guys have injuries that are long-term. They're head injuries, their knees or shoulders or something that happened because of a hit like Tom Wilson's, okay? But those were legal back in the day, and I'm not criticizing the hit. What I'm criticizing is where we're at socially right now in the world is people are going to get crucified if they don't say, oh, my God, he should be suspended for life. And like poor Kimby right now, who I know exactly what he's talking about, but he's taking a beating because people are like, oh, well, you know, that's a bullshit hit. That's caveman hockey and this and that and the other. And then you have other people on the side of it going, well, why didn't one of the Blues skate over and beat the shit out of him? Well, wait a minute. You just said that that's caveman hockey, but now you're saying you want somebody to beat the shit out of them. So, like, where the fuck are we headed here?
Pick your get a point and stick to it. Yeah, I agree. But if we're just talking about the hit, man, it's a really, really fast game, and it's really played by big, strong men, and big collisions happen, and that one happened. And I don't think I don't think he hit the head first. I think the head was secondary. And what people need to realize, too, is you don't always have to hit the head to cause a concussion. The concussion can come.
Absolutely.
The concussion can come. I had a grade 5 concussion when I was 20, and I don't remember any of it other than it's on, you know, it's recorded. I don't remember any of it, but my head hit nothing. Nothing. My neck just snapped, and that's what caused a grade 5 concussion. So, like I think that's important for some people to realize. Like, if Tom Wilson comes in and hits the shoulder there, he doesn't have to make contact to cause a great concussion. And then where are we? Like, then what happens? Like what you're saying, we're in a tough spot where now he hit the shoulder, but the head snapped. you know, because there's there's such an emphasis on protecting the head and, you know, and concussions and all that, and rightly so. Like, I saw a little blip documentary about Korea, and they interviewed him and stuff, and he still struggles, you know, with head stuff. And of course Lindros, his career ended because of that. And there were others, you know, but it's tough. I think the Scott Stevenish hit is gone from the NHL and not gone, you know, like, I think they've focused on taking that out of the game and telling players that they're not going to tolerate that. But this Tom Wilson thing is a tough one.
Let me ask you a question, Gary. Do you like the NHL with, and again, I understand the puck being away for two and a half seconds, but do you like the big open ice hit like that? The shoulder into the chest region one way or the
absolutely.
Other?
Yeah, absolutely, but it's got to be, the guy's got to have the puck. And, you know, like, there's, Jamie will tell you, there's responsibility to the player getting hit, too. Like, you have to.
That's kind of where
you
I'm
have
at, yeah.
to learn to protect yourself. And if you're going to leave yourself exposed, like Sundqvist did, in my opinion, then you're going to get hit.
It looks to me like watching the video that Sundqvist at the last second says, oh, shit. I saw his lips move.
Well, the only problem here, guys, is that the game has changed, okay? Obviously, we know that. That's like a big headline. The game has changed. But one of the finer things that has left the game, little details, and I can tell you about this because I can't even begin to tell you the number of nights where my head as a trophy would have been in other teams' locker rooms. And I knew that. And so every time I touched the ice, every single time in my career that I hopped over those boards, I knew who was on the ice for the other team. Right away, I would take inventory. Like fucking lightning fast. Like, boom, okay, scan the ice. Okay, Ty Domi's out here. Watch your back. You know, like, you know, yeah. Shit's going down. Scan the ice. Tom Wilson's out here. I should probably not cut through the fucking middle of the ice. Like, but that's, I'm not lying, guys. That is the truth. As soon as I would touch the ice or just before I was about to go on, I would take inventory of who is on the ice for the opposition. How stupid am I allowed to play this shift coming up? Because if nobody's out there, then I get to be really stupid. So-and-so's out here, so-and-so's out here, I have to be less stupid or I will end up spitting bubbles laying on my back.
Spitting bubbles.
But this is the truth.
I know.
People want the inside truth. This is the truth. This is what goes through somebody's mind in the middle of a hockey game who is, I would consider myself to be smart since I never cut across the middle like that and got nailed. So I'm obviously smarter than that.
Well, let me ask you this, Riz. Let me ask you, so, and sorry, but here, taking that into account, you played during that era where the Scott Stevens hit was a thing. Like, it could, you know, it could definitely happen. So, today's player, they're not thinking what you were thinking because they assume that that's gone. And so, you know what I'm getting at here? Like,
yeah, but should they, Gary?
No, I agree. No, that's what I'm saying. I guess what I'm asking is, do you see today's player not being as cognitive, no pun intended, but not as cognitive as you were or other players in your era sitting on the bench taking inventory of who's out on the ice with them? Do you see that the players nowadays aren't taking that inventory because they're supposed to be protected?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, and look, this will go back, and they should feel that way. Players should feel safe to play the game of hockey. Okay, I'm all for it. I have two young boys that play hockey. They play a little bit old school, and we're trying to get them to play a little more new school. However, I want my kids to play in a safe environment. So, that being said, yes, these guys should feel like, okay, that shit's out of the game. You know, I don't have to worry about Ty Domi running my face into the boards from behind or Bob Probert slashing me across the teeth when I'm not looking. Don't have to worry about that right now. However, okay, and this is the big however, Tom Wilson is in the league.
Yeah.
He's in the league. He just got signed for 5 years at fucking first line money. He's not going anywhere. And guess what? He has a track record. So therefore, guess what, Gary?
Yeah.
I'm going to know when that son of a bitch is on the ice because he's one of the only guys in the league I got to worry about.
Right. Right.
Him, Ryan Reeves, what, Lucic? I mean, who else comes across? PK Subban comes across with that beasting fucking hip check. Like, you know, there's like 10 guys in the league is all you got to worry about these days.
Yeah, I...
He should be circled.
He should be circled. So, you know, it sounds to me like I'm not going to put words in your mouth. I mean, you do a good enough job of that yourself.
Don't put anything in my mouth ever.
Yeah. It sounds to me like you're kind of on the same side as Kimby here. I think you understand.
I think we all are.
I think, yeah. And but we also understand why fans would.
I also see the point, too, Frohms. I also see the other side, too. Okay. I get it where the game is headed because, like I just told you, I've got two young boys that play the game, and I don't want them slobbering all over themselves when they're finished playing midget hockey, you know? And I don't mean that in a funny way. It's a very serious way because people end up with big problems. You know, I guess the other side of the argument, or not an argument, one more piece of the pie here is, did Tom Wilson need to make that hit, okay? And I see that argument all over the place. Listen, dude, you already made the team. Did you really have to hit Oscar whoever? You know, like making fun of, like, who is Oscar Sundquist? Which, you know, there's an argument to be made there. That's a whole other story. But Tom Wilson has become a power forward in the NHL and a guy that has become successful, even gotten to the first line playing with Backstrom and Ovechkin, or sorry, Kuznetsov and Ovechkin on the first line. He's a Stanley Cup champion. How did he get there? He got there by playing Tom Wilson hockey. Okay? Good players. Let's go back to even Scott Stevens. As much as we hate some of the hits he had, you don't get to be great unless you play that game, that style of game, day in, day out. Otherwise, you're called a part-timer, which is much less respected than a guy who plays aggressive. And Tom Wilson was in a situation where he was coming back. He was committed to closing that gap on Sundquist. And then Sundquist decided to shoot the puck and keep his head buried. And what? Guess what? He got tombstoned, right? He got nailed.
He did.
And so I'm not happy that there's injury involved because I care a lot about the players of any era in the NHL. But to expect a guy to just turn it off when he touches the ice is people essentially saying, we're telling you it's okay to be inconsistent.
Well, yeah,
the number one thing people want out of an all-star or out of a guy, we want consistency. So you're basically telling this guy to choke himself on the choke chain rather than do what's instinctual. So that whole story can go fly out the window. He's that kind of player, whether it's preseason, summer hockey, playoffs, when Tom Wilson's on the ice, just know you might get hit.
Right. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. I've read a couple of the tweets out there and whatever. I've read a couple of them that say, you know, did he have to hit Sundquist? Because Sundquist is of no consequence. Sundquist is of consequence because he's playing the game.
And he's got the puck. And he's basically making an offensive move into the zone.
I'm sorry, but again, the game's fast and you play it the way you play it. And if you play it differently, then you are... You're causing yourself a problem, which is exactly what Jamie's saying. Like, Tom Wilson has to be Tom Wilson, and Tom Wilson's going to deliver that hit, and it doesn't matter who it is.
And here's my thing about fans when it comes to these things all the time, too, is this. I mean, let's face it. I mean, we all saw Courtnall hit Jeremy Roenick, and everybody thinks it's one of their favorite Blues hits of all time. I mean, you know, we all saw this stuff go down. I mean, this is the game. It's played really fast. If you take a shoulder and you target the chest region, which is what I believe you should do, Jamie, are we correct? I mean, isn't it inches away at that fast pace with different size guys from being a bad hit all the time?
Well, here's the thing, right? It's such a tricky game at such high speed, but I can tell you from being one of those players, the head is not the target initially. Now, has it been at times? Yes, of course, I'm guilty as anybody else where we're in a little head hunting. However,
shame
your hit is to bend your knees and explode into your opponent with your shoulder. So now, usually it was shoulder on shoulder or shoulder on shoulder slash chest area. That's where 90% of impacts happen in hockey hits. And that's a good hockey hit. It's called loading and exploding. Load your legs, bend them up, and boom, explode into your hit, not upwards, but forwards through the player, not up through his brain. So that's what you would classify as a good hockey hit. Elbows down, stick down, shoulders down, load and explode.
Well, heck, I can tell you this right now. You can get blasted there in the whiplash alone. Would be, I don't know.
That's
again,
what I was saying.
Yeah, well, I know. That's my thing.
They got all these things now. If you watch the movie Ice Guardians, which is a fantastic documentary by a good friend of mine, Adam Scorgi, he does a fantastic job of getting both sides of the fence on this one, where you talk about people pro fighting and people against fighting. And there's a doctor on there that talks about how the brain has a little gelatin around it, and when it just gets rattled around in there, there can be a concussion. And it can be, you could run into a guy butt on butt, two hip checks, banging into each other, farthest thing from the head, and you could get a concussion just because of the way the brain moves around in there for that one time. Or like you said, a whiplash effect that causes a concussion. So concussions aren't always a direct result of a headshot. And now we believe that it is because, well, that's the part that gets affected. But it's not. There's chain reactions that go on throughout the body, and there's things that happen to the brain, and you can get them anyway, anyhow. Now, of course, a direct blow to the face or to the head probably increases those chances, but people need to know it's not always a hit to the head that causes a concussion.
Right. I mean, that's what I said earlier about the one I suffered. I mean, I didn't get hit in the head.
Yeah, but you banged your head on a bar stool, Gary, as you slipped off the rail. So
yes.
That's not exactly,
well,
fair.
That was the other one.
Hell, that was it. Sorry. Okay. Sorry.
I got the whiplash one trying to skate.
His speed. His speed.
He left his skate guards on that day?
Pretty much.
Speed.
The way I skated, it looked like I always had my skate guards on.
His blazing speed, well, his head would slip back from the
listen
wind.
To this guy.
Oh, no, listen, you brought it up, not me. I had my own problems. Let's be real.
And you still have your own problems.
Well, I got a lot of problems.
Well, look, guys, hey, I think that this is going to be an ongoing argument. Honestly, I don't see it coming to an end. I don't, because there's going to be hits that are in the gray area all the time. And even with the wonders of video and how we can manipulate it and look at it, we're still not going to get, you know, a direct answer or maybe a specific targeting point or first impact, all that. These are tough things. You know, I think the biggest thing now for Blues fans is, one, Tom Wilson plays in the Eastern Conference, so whatever his suspension is, it really is going to have no impact on the Blues unless they get, what, to the Stanley Cup final. I mean, they play Washington, I think, twice this year. So I'm just saying, you know, yes, we'll leave it in the hands of the league. Yes, they'll do what they think is right. I think he gets 7 games. We'll see what the NHL thinks. But now, oddly enough, and there's my question back to you guys, is
uh-oh,
because the hit is surrounding an individual that is on the bubble of making the Blues roster, Oscar Sundquist, probably finding himself on the outside looking in, but now because of injury, we'll have to start the season, at least on the IR. So how do you guys think this affects the Blues makeup here headed into Thursday?
I'll go first and just say that I didn't have him making this team anyway. Did you, Gary? I didn't.
No, I think
at war at best in the press box.
Yeah,
at best.
So who you got? Blay and Kyrie? Or
yeah, I do. Guys? I don't know how they don't. I mean, see, wait a minute. Let me go back.
Well, Blay's on. Blay and are on the team for sure. For sure. For sure. I know Kyrie has put up a good argument for himself. But Blay has outshined probably almost every player on the Blues roster this preseason. And Robert Thomas has just gotten better every game.
So here's my question, and this is what it's going to come to again. Now, it's funny how I say in one breath, well, they make the team. They make the team because I look at it probably in the wrong way, and Jamie will always let me know when I'm wrong, so he's probably going to let me know when I'm wrong.
Absolutely.
Here. So the fact of the matter is I look at it and I say, there is no way on God's green earth you can tell me, okay, that – whether it's Blay, Thomas, or Kyrie, I'll throw Kyrie in there as well. There's no way they're not one of 16 best forwards on this Blues team. Now, the problem is, and it will always continue to be, is that I say that in one breath, and in another breath I say, why in the world would you have these guys sit on the bench and play 5-6 minutes a game, probably in not a very free and open style to play the style of hockey that they play? So if you don't have top two line minutes for a Kyrie, or a Blay, does it really make much sense to have him play here? I go back and forth with it all the time. I'm sure Jamie will tell me, and then I'll be smarter for it. But the truth of the matter is...
Doubt it.
But the truth of the matter is, unless you're going to kind of change how it goes... Because here's my deal, and I've said, like... Again...
What's your deal?
I don't understand what role certain guys... Like, if you want to do that, then Dmitri Yaskin's fine. If you're going to give a guy 4 or 5 minutes a game, just put Dmitri Yaskin out there. I mean, that's how I look at it. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
Okay. No, hey, all right.
You're actually in the area code this time. Usually you're like in another international area code, but this one here, you're getting close.
Well, again.
But no, you know what? Here's the deal. Robbie Fabbri, question mark. Will he be ready? Will he not? Even if he's ready, is it the best thing to throw him in the fire on Thursday to play against Winnipeg, who's a damn good hockey team, or on Saturday in Chicago, where I don't care what the standings read, those games always have a certain intensity to them. So I think that those three players you talked about in Kyrou, Blay, and Thomas start out on the roster. And I think they get pretty good minutes. I think you'll see Blay in the top 9 forwards. I really do. And I think you'll see Thomas get spotted in and out of spots in the top 9. I think the Blues may take a very Detroit Red Wings from the 90s approach to their lineup. And what I mean by that is, if you look at the teams in the late 90s, early 2000s, one of the teams I played for in the early 2000s, President's Trophy. Not a big deal, right? but our fourth line.
Hey, how about a resume? Hey, let's go over our resumes. All right. No, I'm just
kidding. No, let's not.
I'm on a roll here. Don't get in my way. The Detroit Red Wings always had the grind line, right? Chris Draper, Kurt Malpe, Darren McCarty, or Joey Kosher, depending on the year. That line was kind of the fourth line. Now, that line in certain games would play third line minutes. And I remember our third line when I was there the 1 year was Hull, Datsyuk, and Zetterberg were our third line.
In some games,
they were the fourth line. And it's not because Brett Hull's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best players ever, one of my best friends, one of the best guys ever. Bottom line. But the fourth line would get 8-9 minutes a game. And we rolled 4 skilled units over and over and over and over. And it's a nightmare for the other team because guess what happens is you can't play your less skilled unit out there against those guys. You just can't because it's a liability. So then the minutes and the stress go back on your top 9 forwards or your top 4D all the time, which wears that team down. And so by the third period, you've got a team that's physically less than you are as far as how much energy they have in the tank because they're not able to roll 4 lines and 6 defensemen because you keep throwing heat at them. So I'm a big believer after the success that the Red Wings did have in that time frame, take out the Hall of Famers and all that, I get it. In today's NHL, the Blues have a roster that they could roll 4 healthy, fast, skilled lines. And that could be very problematic to teams.
I'm so glad you said that.
Because you're glad a lot today.
No, because I'm just tired of, like, I don't know about other fans, but here's what I'm tired of. I'm tired of the traditional fourth line that the Blues have had. Now, granted, they've served some purpose and they've eaten up some minutes that were pretty quality. I mean, I get it when Reeves was on that line. I understand all that. But man, I would just love to see us go with 12 top skilled forwards and just roll them and just keep throwing them out there, just like Jamie said. I hate when we just take the fourth line and it's a bunch of grinders and we just put them out there to eat up some minutes so that the other guys get some rest. How about we just add a fourth line that's got a ton of speed and skill and can control the puck and put some offensive pressure on some people?
Well, hang on. Let me say this as a fan. Who wouldn't want that?
I don't know, okay, but we don't.
But hang on. Well, I'm going to ask you this.
No, but you know what? Problems, a lot of people get wrapped up in that old school mentality. And this is where sometimes, you know, even Kimby and I at our show will get that. Oh, those guys just want a bunch of goons out there for fourth line. Well, guess what? Unless you have Ryan Reeves or Tom Wilson, I'm going to say it, and Blues Nation's going to fucking motherfuck me for saying that, but unless you have either one of those players, no need to roll that fourth line. There's no need.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so and where I was going to go with it was I'm going to bring it down to brass tacks then, real simple. You know him better than we do. Obviously, you know him better than any Blues fan does, except for the ones that are Blues fans that he's related to, probably. Can Mike Yeo run a fourth line out there like that and do that? Is it in his DNA? Is it in his nature? Is it in his...
Well, I think it has to be. You know what? Like, whatever was last year, guess what? It didn't work. Whether we fell 1 point or 20 points out of the playoffs, it didn't work because we didn't win a cup. We weren't a contender. We weren't even close. So whatever the formula was last year, you go over to your dry erase board and say, okay, this did not work. Take a picture of it and put it in your computer and file it under this did not work. That's what you do as Mike Yeo. And you look at what you have now. When you wipe it all clean and put in the new names, you go, holy shit, this right here, this may work. And you got to go for it. That's what a head coach's job is to do, is find a path that others can't find and make it work. That's why you're the head coach. That's why the guy at the end of the bar is not qualified to be the head coach of the St. Louis Blues. Because as the head coach of the St. Louis Blues, you need to know how to fix the problems. And so that's what I think Mike Yeo will do. Now, shifting gears a little bit, because it is a long season, and some of these young guys will fluctuate in their energy levels and their consistency and all the things that rookies go through. I like to have Thorburn around. I like to have Barbashev, for sure. I like to have Yashkin, because if you have to go on a long road trip and you don't have last change or this or that and the other, you can put that line out there as your fourth line. You give a couple of rookies a night off, manage their games, manage their minutes so they don't have to go 80 games out of the chute. Maybe they play 60, and then they're fresh for playoffs, and they're no worse for wear as far as physically. You know, this is where I look at it, the dry erase board, and that's what I put up there. And I'm not a head coach. I'm a scrub. I'm doing a radio show with Gary Henson and Jim Cromer. I mean, holy fuck, right?
Wow. Welcome to Scrubsville, pal.
Welcome to the two guys at the end of the bar.
That's right. Welcome to the tavern. Rivers, you fit in. You and Kimby both fit in at the tavern real nice.
And Kimby got there long before you did, too.
Man, I got to tell you.
That's where, honestly, I mean, you guys can agree or disagree. That's where my head goes when I look at things right now.
Man, I love that makeup, and that's the reason why. Rivs, you'd be my head coach if I owned a team.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Yeah. It's going down.
I'm winning that lottery. Get ready.
I'll buy a new suit.
No suits, not on this team. I think we've basically circled the wagons on this thing, and when it comes right down to it, it sure appears that you're not really going to argue with anybody, no matter what side they sit on this. But at the end of the day, you kind of look at it and go, it's hockey to some degree, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's no argument to be had because whatever stance you take, the opposition attacks you.
Yeah.
So it's pointless. That's why, honestly, you're not going to see me engage in any Twitter stuff to Tom Wilson, because for every one that supports you, there's another one that hates you, and vice versa for whatever your opinion is on plays like this.
And you know your boy Kimby has no issue sticking it out there and saying,
no,
look.
But I think this might. I think what Jamie said today may may shed some light on people who might have disagreed before.
I really do. That's what I meant. Yeah.
I mean, if the people, you know, are listening to this, I think Jamie did a really good job of shedding light on this.
Jamie,
thing.
Let me ask you, I'm going to give you one last question.
But I got
question.
My boy Kimby's back, though, okay? Push comes to shove. I got my boy Kimby's back. I'm in his corner. So if someone gets a little too liberal with their keyboard, they might hear from
me. Let me ask you one last question, and this is to kind of put a bow on this today, because let's face it, this old school hockey guys and guys that love the whole rough and tumble thing, they'll appreciate this question and probably the answer. Because I'm going to ask you the question. I know what the answer probably is. And then there's a follow-up question to it, and it's basically this. You know, again, I liked hockey from the day I watched it when I was a kid. I didn't get to start playing ice hockey till I was older. I didn't really live in an area that promoted it versus other things. But I loved it from the day I played street hockey with the boys out back. So I liked the old-school stuff. I've seen it. The older I got, the more availability I had to see some of that Broad Street Bully stuff and all that kind of stuff. I loved it as a hockey fan. I've been to, God, I couldn't count how many hockey games I've been to. I've never once been to a hockey game where two guys didn't go toe-to-toe and the whole place wasn't on their feet cheering. I never have understood the, quote-unquote, let's get the fighting out of hockey to make it a more family-friendly sport. I don't understand it. We live in a world that loves train wrecks. They're never going to make me understand that. So I say this to you. Does Tom Wilson hit Oscar Sundquist? Okay. If Pat Maroon is free to jump over the bench and grab him and hold him accountable without penalty, does he do it?
Yeah, I think he does.
You think he still does it?
I think he does 100%. I mean, guys, no disrespect to Chris Thorburn. Chris Thorburn was on the ice 10 feet away. And Tom Wilson decided to bury Oscar Sundquist's head through his anal cavity. So, you know, Thorburn turned. I don't even know if he saw what happened. He turned and dropped the gloves and went up. But Tom Wilson, that breed of hockey player, right? Like, are you going to tell me that Ryan Reeves would think twice? Are you going to tell me that Scott Stevens was never a spot picker? You know, Ty Domi would be on the ice and other guys that were tough as nails. I just think that it's in Tom Wilson's makeup to play that way. I don't think he gives a shit who's on the ice. Now, the ultimate play after that is for Pat Maroon. I don't say Patty, poor Patty, because he's such a hell of a player, but a guy like Pat Maroon steps over the boards and goes over and knocks Backstrom's front teeth out. Now you have payback, okay? So that's... And I'm not encouraging that at all. Trust me.
Sure, but you are.
If you've listened to Kimby, or Twister when we've had him on the show and all this stuff, it wasn't always about intimidating the other team's tough guy. It was about intimidating the players that could have an impact on the game. And so if Tom Wilson takes Oscar Sundquist his head off like he did, or not his head, but puts him out of the game like he did, then the next play is you better be very careful how many times you play Ovechkin, Oshie, or Backstrom, or Kuznetsov the rest of the game, because they're marked men now. Why? Because it's an eye for an eye. I may not be able to get to Wilson. I may not be able to change Tom Wilson's mind, but guess what? If he loses enough teammates, that coach is going to talk to him and say, hey, quit the bullshit, because we got nobody left who can play.
Okay, so you just answered the follow-up question, because the follow-up question was, and again, you've been in the locker room your whole life, does eventually, if that's what happens, does Backstrom, does Ovechkin, do they look at Wilson and say, cut the shit, okay? Cut the shit. I don't care if you play physical, but stop with that kind of stuff because we're paying the price. Does that happen, yes or no?
Well, yeah, you know, it happens in different ways, right? Like, some guys would be more vocal, would walk in and be like, look, enough of the shit because I'm a dead man now. Some guys will walk in like that back in the day. But ordinarily, guys would walk in and say it in a different way, and it would be like, if you're in the box or out of the game, guess what? I have nobody that has my back. So You can't be doing that. You can't spend time in the box. You can't be thrown out of the game because it's open season on the rest of us then. And then the tough guy would figure it out, be like, yeah, I guess he's right. Like, if there's nobody to take care of those guys, then I'm not very much use. And usually at that point, that guy would settle down and become more of a policeman than an enforcer at that point.
Well, and again, I want to say I used Pat Maroon instead of Thornburn because we know Patty's going to be in a lineup every night. I understand that Thornburn
yeah, no,
really
and I
fills
know
that role.
Look, I think Patty's tough as nails. He's fought every guy in the NHL. He's fought Zdeno Chara. I mean, look, I don't want to say I think more of Patty, like it's a negative thing. I think he brings that to the table, and that's one of the reasons he's so valuable to this team, and he's already proven that. I just think that, you know, he's a hell of a hockey player. He's going to be playing probably on our first line, and we're going to need him for other things, too.
Yeah, I get the whole Pat Maroon tough guy thing, but I want him to play. You know, I want Pat Maroon to play. If there's a time where he absolutely has to, yeah, I get it. But I want Pat Maroon to be Pat Maroon. I don't want him to have to drop. I mean, I think there's some of the Blues fans out there seem to be like he's going to be this big enforcer and wanting him to drop the gloves all the time. And that's just not what he – that's not using him in the best way.
You know what? What's funny is when you get into these conversations, you start thinking about old school, new school, the changing of thoughts and things like this. You know, one of the first times I was ever around Kimball, it was me and you know Ryan Reeves really well. He loves hockey. He was one of the first guys that would start showing me all these clips and things like that. And then we're going way back to right when this internet stuff was kind of blowing up. And we were somewhere with Kimball. Well, we were with Kimball somewhere, and we were looking, and Reeves used to love to look at all these big hits and things like this, and we were looking at one of Bob Probert, and I'll never forget saying this. I'm like, yeah, but it's Bob Probert. Who the hell is going to mess with Bob Probert? And Kimby points right at the picture and goes, this guy right here. And it was like, it wasn't anybody that you would know, like a big-time tough guy, went after Probert because he had laid a big hit on a guy behind the net. And Kimby's next words were, he better do it or he'll be out of the league.
Yeah.
He better go after Bob Probert if he took. But them days are over, as far as we. And that's kind of.
Yeah,
but Kimby's stance has never changed. It's never wavered.
No, I know.
No, 100%. And I, in lots of ways, I mean, I think we all agree with it. But I think we all acknowledge that, like, those days are gone. You don't have the horses to do that anymore. You don't even have a no name that's going to step up and go after a Bob Probert. Like, I'm just being honest. You've got a lot of skilled kids, a lot of college kids. Well, it doesn't mean they're not tough guys or strong. It doesn't mean they couldn't kick the piss out of all of us. I don't know. But all it means is it's not their first thought.
Not a sane thought anyway. So anyway. Well, hey, Jamie, I know you were on a ton today. We appreciate you, of course, bringing your Blues thoughts. We'll see you in studio with Mr. Kimball on Thursday. But as we always do, remind our friends and listeners out there that if they're looking for some help with their young one, whether it be girl or boy, when it comes to the great game of hockey, how they can learn more about what you do with Synergy Hockey.
Yeah, just head over to the website, synergyhockeyskills.com. We've got small group training going on right now. A lot of them are filling up really quickly. A couple of them are sold out. The one that you should jump on right now is at Brentwood on Tuesday mornings. I believe start time is 6:30 a.m. It's early. It's rise and shine. But we have the ice there to ourselves, and we could use some players out there. And certainly I know there's a lot of players in that area. So get on synergyhockeyskills.com, click under small group training, and hopefully we'll see you over in Brentwood.
All right, my friend. Thanks for all you do. I'll see you on Thursday, and take care of yourself.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Mr. Rivers, I expect nothing less.
He's so
straight
good.
Dope. Oh, yeah, he's something else.
He's good at this.
Yeah. No, yeah. Hey, enjoyed it. Great conversation today.
Yeah,
I like that. I love those types of things. I mean, we can talk about it. I mean,
I think he shed some light, hopefully some light on the whole situation and some of the anti-hit, that particular hit, understand how that
sometimes
happens.
Listen, it's a violent game played at a very high speed.
I just said that.
And these things happen.
And
now,
just said that.
I would say this too at the end too. The real issue here is this is a repeat offender. I think he's a repeat offender with
us.
Okay,
but I don't know if that's the okay.
You know what I mean? I'm talking about why it's
no, right.
Yeah. I, again, And we, and I'm not saying blindly, because people, get, but blindly say, oh, it was a dirty hit, it was a bad hit. Because I tell you,
I don't think
it reminds me of a football game where a defensive receiver gets popped, and it's like, I mean, it's a football play.
Totally, completely different level of hockey, obviously. But if my, if I'm the head coach and my guy makes that hit, I'm going to tell him, I want you to play that way all the time. Because I don't think he targeted the head. I think the head was a byproduct of the hit.
That's what the head injury
is a byproduct of the hit. And unfortunately, that's going to happen when you're dealing with people that big. But I'm not going to tell my guys not to hit there. My guys are going to have to hit there because Sundqvist is a threat at that point.
So, you know, again, I will say this. Here it is in a nutshell. Yes, it's a byproduct of the hit. Now, let's not kid ourselves. Did Tom Wilson's eyes not light up when he saw him come across the middle of the ice? Yeah, because that's what he does, and that's what other guys do in the NHL too.
Well, they do it at our level. I mean, come on, man. Yeah. A hit's a hit.
Now, let me ask you this last question before we go. Mm-hmm. If it's your guy and mm-hmm. he's hurt, do you have to have a conversation with him and say, look, when you're going to make that cut across the ice, you've got to be aware of your surroundings?
Absolutely.
I think you have to.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's kind of where I was going with it. All right.
Well, here's what I tell my guys. If you get lit up, there are times when it's your responsibility to protect yourself. And so if you're not going to protect yourself, there are going to be times when you're going to get lit up. That's how it works and how it happens.
Yeah. Good show, man. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Want to thank all of our partners for today. Enjoyed it very much. Don't forget our good friends, NelsonLandServices.com, the Nelson family. They do tremendous work when it comes to landscaping. They've grown their business here in St. Louis, and really all they're looking for is for you to give them an opportunity for your business. Go to NelsonLandServices.com. Again, we mention it all the time. Lots of people from this area hang down at the Ozarks. You see some of those beautiful homes down there with some of the tremendous outside work that's been done. Chances are our friends at Nelson Land Services have done that work. Again, if you're looking for, you know, quality work at reasonable prices, check out our friends at NelsonLandServices.com. Of course, each week we get an episode of Live from Inner Arena. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Adam's Smokehouse. My man Mike, remember, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and they are now open till 7. It's not just for lunch anymore. I would advise you get over to Watson Road, have some barbecue. You're going to love it. I can name about 10 different things over there that I could eat on a daily basis, but I need to not sometimes. But sometimes I just can't help it. I got to drive over and have a brisket burger or ribs or a tri-tip. It's just amazing that all the burn ends, tremendous. You can go on and on and on.
Some sweet Twitter video.
Yeah, I know that. It does. Isn't it amazing? And I know I'm making you hungry right now, too. But that's Adam's Smokehouse over on Watson. Appreciate it very much, all those things those guys got going. I can't thank them enough for their continued support. Of course, Synergy Hockey Skills, as always. And again, my friend Randy at InnovativeCompanies.com. For all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.